This is a Carlisle ValueCast, brought to you by the Carlisle Group. ValueCast brings you insights from our One Carlisle Network, providing analysis, data, and observations to help you navigate the global economy and top-of-mind issues in news. The Carlisle Group. Invest wisely. Create value.
Greetings and welcome to Carlisle ValueCast. I'm Jason Thomas, Director of Research at the Carlisle Group. Today, we're joined by Tomatsu Adachi and Kaz Yamada, Managing Directors and Co-Heads of Carlisle Japan Partners. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's no economy in the world currently drawing more interest from economists, policymakers, and investors than Japan's. In December, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was elected on a three-pronged economic reform platform. The first was aggressive monetary easing and unprecedented cooperation between the Bank of Japan and Ministry of Finance. The second prong was fiscal easing and fiscal flexibility. The third prong was structural reform to increase business investment in Japan. Market response was very positive. The Nikkei is up by 50% since November, when it was anticipated that Prime Minister Abe would be elected. And then on April 4th, the newly installed Bank of Japan Governor Kuroda announced a very aggressive monetary expansion policy where he intended to hit a 2% inflation target in 2 years and double the Japanese monetary base during that period of time. I'm wondering, from the perspective of investors on the ground in Japan, what are your expectations for Abenomics? Adachi-san, would you like to start?
Yes. If you take a look at the current situation in Japan, there is amazingly large optimism spread throughout business leaders. There is a survey recently came out. 90% of business leaders in Japan are supportive of Abenomics, and 66% of them are seeing positive growth. And until Mr. Kuroda announced the new policies, there were some unknown factors, and some people were skeptical. By seeing that some companies are starting to invest more, people are beginning to believe that this will eventually make the economy grow and that will last longer than a lot of people thought originally.
As you stated, two initiatives are well implemented and good outcome is already realized. The challenge is structural change you indicated. But, you know, this time, most of the Japanese business leader and also politician feels it's a last chance to change. Mr. Kuroda's statement is kind of exceptional. And most of the people, especially business people, feel it's a strong commitment by the government. And most importantly, government so-called midterm goal is to meet a primary balance. So they committed to increase the consumption tax next year. In order to do that, they need to maintain good economy condition.
Thank you. I think it's perhaps underappreciated just how rich Japanese households are. According to Bank of Japan data, Japanese households hold 1.5 quadrillion yen in financial assets. This is roughly equal to 15 trillion U.S. dollars in assets, which is equal to about 300% of Japanese GDP. Interestingly, very little of this, less than 10%, is allocated to equities. Most of it is in Japanese government bonds and deposits. Part of the policy of quantitative and qualitative easing announced by Governor Kuroda is to suppress yields on Japanese government bonds. And also, by generating positive inflation, it's to push real returns into negative territory. To make up for this, Japanese households presumably will have to move into riskier assets. First, do you see Japanese households already moving into equities? Do you anticipate that movement into equities continuing?
Well, historically speaking, many Japanese are very conservative in terms of making investments. And a lot of people usually leave their cash in a regular bank saving account, and they don't put a lot of money in riskier assets. And very few people buy stocks, or very few people invest in some other high return but higher risk assets. Having said that, though, there is a slight change in recent months, and more people are making investments in stocks. And since stock prices have risen 50% in the last 4 or 5 months, and a lot of people are coming back to the stock market, so I'm sure there will be more people investing in those areas.
Do you agree with that?
I basically agree with Sachi-san's comments. I don't think current depositors' attitude is not a significant change. Since 60% of Japanese wealth is held by so-called senior retired people, so they are worried about future pension fund payment and also healthcare payment. So they're going to prefer to a safety asset rather than high return investment. So from this point, Japanese mega banks are still, you know, hold lots of assets. So cheap borrowing situation going to be continued next decade.
Since you mentioned cheap financing, one of the most interesting aspects of the Japanese economy is that despite such low rates of interest, non-financial corporations in Japan still generate very large financial surpluses. According to Bank of Japan data, in 2012, non-financial corporations generated a current account surplus of 20 trillion yen, or 4.2% of GDP. And that suggests that not only are corporates not borrowing to finance investment, but they're actually not even investing all of the cash flow that they generate. I know that this is an aspect that's supposed to be tackled through structural reform, but I'm wondering what your outlook is for the Japanese corporate investment in the current situation. Hajachi-san?
Yes, I think a lot of CEOs are trying to grow using their money. But the problem is where they can really find the growth area. You know, Japan as a country, the population is decreasing, and they may want to expand their business overseas. And actually, M&A to buy foreign assets or foreign businesses are increasing, in fact. But I still think a lot of CEOs are not really confident whether they can make money outside of Japan or they can be successful hiring good people locally or manage people locally. So I'm sure they will start using those money toward growth area, but I don't know whether using that money is enough or not. So it's a question. And I think it's related to the first question you made. You know, there are successful monetary actions being in place, but whether that will really connect to the real growth or not is really dependent on the capability of CEOs and also maybe regulations.
Yeah, most of Japanese corporations enjoy domestic market. As Adachi-san said, you know, in order to capture the growth, they need to go out to market. Most of the CEO, top exec, Japanese exec, just keep as it is and try to succeed to the next generation. But recently, they are facing fierce competition with the global players. Especially to capture the growth, they need to go out and compete with these guys. And also, structural reform and also open the market is invite global player to a domestic market. So most of the Japanese CEO, you know, top executive feels they need to change and they need to focus on the core business to compete with the global player. So that move is accelerate the divestiture of a non-core business, even if they have a cash in hand. And cash in hand going to be utilized for a core business in an overseas market.
And speaking of overseas, there's been a recent discussion of the Prime Minister's embrace of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So first of all, the question is, do you anticipate that moving forward? And secondly, it sounds like if it does, that's going to accelerate the corporation's divestiture of their non-core assets moving forward.
Yeah, I think definitely that will make an impact. TPP is a big item we are discussing. And finally, Mr. Abe decided to join the TPP discussion, and that will definitely make positive impact to a lot of Japanese companies. I'm sure a lot of Japanese companies will enhance the competitiveness in the global market and open up our Japanese market to invite foreign investment. And maybe that will improve the employment in Japan. So by seeing those, probably a lot of business leaders realize that, focus on the strength and core businesses and divest and further enhance their competitiveness to win in the global market. So definitely TPP is a big, big, big thing for Japanese companies.
Is TPP, in your view, necessary for Japan to regain its export competitiveness? As we've seen in recent years, Japan move into a trade deficit, which is a very unusual position for a country with such competitive export industries historically.
Definitely, Japan cooperation is heavily dependent on the export business. Since, Japan doesn't have a natural resource to cover the corporate activity here in Japan. So open market is a necessity to sustain Japan economy. So I think, TPP is a really essential initiative for Japan business society.
The yen is down 23% relative to the U.S. dollar since November. Are you already noticing positive export orders?
Yeah, I definitely think the weaker yen will enhance the competitiveness of a lot of Japanese companies. Although many companies shifted their manufacturing plant to overseas, but they are still dependent on exports a lot. And there is some survey saying that if the current weaker yen continues and maybe if it comes like 110 yen or so, Japanese companies' profit will increase by 50% or so. That will definitely be a good thing for a lot of Japanese companies.
I agree with Adachi-san. Current yen to dollar basis is a kind of a reasonable range to compete with the global competition. So even if most of current manufacturing basis is shifted to a local manufacturing country basis, large manufacturing basis still exists in Japan. So in order to sustain this facility and also employment, current yen depreciation is a necessity and is positive things to a Japanese corporation.
Have you been surprised the extent to which Japan's trading partners have been content with the depreciation? And do you expect the potential for competitive devaluations of other currencies in response?
Well, I don't know how other countries' policymakers will react to that. But as far as I understand, the current policies of Japan is supportive by a lot of foreign governments. And Japanese economy is getting better, will make a positive effect to other countries. So overall, I think this is a good thing.
Yeah, I agree. And Japanese situation is not good for other countries. So they're going to expect at least recover of Japanese economy growth. So it's going to be a positive thing for all of the rest of the world.
Great. Well, thank you very much. This is really fascinating. And, I think the world's attention is going to be focused on Japan for at least the next 2 years. It's going to be very interesting. Adachi-san, Kaz, thank you for joining us today on Carlisle ValueCast.
Thank you for joining us. For more information, go to our website at carlisle.com. This has been a Carlisle ValueCast podcast.